Our next guest, Per Ewert, has written a really fascinating book called Sherlock, The Case for the Empty Tomb, in which Sherlock Holmes investigates the resurrection of Jesus. Per, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you with us and joining us. Well, it's actually kind of an interesting story how you came to write this book, because it really was based on a sermon you saw in which the pastor did something kind of unusual.
Yeah, I saw just a news article about a priest who dressed up in a Sherlock Holmes costume when he delivered a sermon. And as myself being a long-time Sherlock Holmes fan, I got the idea, what about the idea if this magnificent detective would investigate the most astonishing disappearance in history, how would he evaluate the historical evidence surrounding the events in this fascinating Passover in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago?
So if it's not giving away too much of the book, how do you set up the initial premise that he starts to investigate this incident?
Yeah, when you write a novel, I've never written a novel before, but you can take yourself, give yourself some liberties as an author. I let the adventure start on Ash Wednesday when Sherlock Holmes is sitting home out of work. And when John Watson, his friend and colleague, comes home, he has met a couple of people on town with ash crosses on their foreheads. And they start discussing a little bit about this ancient mystery. And all of a sudden, Sherlock decides to take up this thread. And he gives himself 40 days till Easter Day to figure out what has actually happened.
Oh, okay. So that's I like that. I like the pretty good setup there. So, and now you yourself are an apologist. I mean, you do this a lot. You engage in apologetics for the church. And so I imagine a lot of this was you wanted to present some of the strong historical evidence for the resurrection.
Yeah. I've written a few apologetics books before, and academically I'm a historian. So that's why I wanted to investigate this as a historical mystery that can be solved. And that's how we use history as scholars. We evaluate the historical sources and we try to figure out what has actually happened. And that's what I let Sherlock Holmes do in this story.
So do you put Sherlock Holmes back 2,000 years, or are you using him as the time that we know Sherlock Holmes is being in?
Yeah, I figured a few different angles there, actually. But I figured out it had to be in a modern context, not least because I wanted to include the latest scholarly research done, because historical science has taken us further into understanding of what has happened during the last decades.
So Sherlock Holmes is known for being this super rational guy, right? He's the guy that looks just the facts kind of guy, just give me the evidence. And of course, we're dealing with issues of that involve facts, certainly, but also issues of faith. Mm. So how do you balance, here's Mr. Hyper-Rational, how do you balance also the need for faith in there with him?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about a detective, a hyper-rational mind like Sherlock. He doesn't really care about pious ideas. I myself do. The spiritual relationship with the Lord is very important to me. But if our faith doesn't stand on fact, it's useless, as Paul said. He says that if Christ is not risen, our faith and our sermons and everything we do is useless. So that's why I found it so important to strengthen my own faith and other people's faith, and the knowledge that our faith actually rests on strong historical evidence.
Now, is Watson part of the story? Is he involved as well?
Yeah, and he takes his usual role as sort of the outside spectator, the guy who thinks what we do, and gets surprised when Sherlock finds out things that no one else does from just giving a person a first glance. And that way of doing, as they call it, Holmesian deduction was quite fun to write, actually.
And do you see Watson as maybe a typical Christian may approach things today?
Yeah, a bit, like a cultural Christian who hasn't given the big issues very much thought or the historical evidence itself. He just begins the story by thinking that we shouldn't care about that. We can't know exactly what happened. But Sherlock, he's devoted to truth, so he goes all the way he can to study the evidence.
And where did you get some of your facts from to put together this book?
Well, that's the fascinating thing. There is scientific research, historical research done, but we can actually go to the historical sources themselves. We can go to the Gospels. We can go to the creedal tradition that Paul presents in 1 Corinthians 15. And that's what's so fascinating. We have access to the best historical evidence, to the best sources that are so incredibly close to the events in question. And that's better than almost any historical evidence things from antiquity.
And I think that's a great point, Per, because And I think there's a bias, you know, sometimes that the Bible, oh, it's a book of, it's a religious book, so it can't be historically accurate, despite the fact that archaeology and other things have continually reinforced the historical accuracy of the Bible. But we have more literature, more, as you said, close to the time of these events than we do any other thing in antiquity. There's more evidence for Jesus than there is for Julius Caesar or any of these other people.
Absolutely. And that's what's so fascinating with the Bible, is that it's not in the Bible because there was a, well, ideas that this or that should be in it, but because it's the best historical sources, written by people who were either witnesses themselves or who had interviewed witnesses. And that's what Paul writes to the church in Corinth, that I gave you what I had received before, when he first met the disciples in Jerusalem, only a few years after the cross. And by that time, this creedal tradition had already had its complete form.
Now, in the book, you also have a little, kind of like a little side case, I guess, for Sherlock that involves another disappearance. It's somewhat like what happened with Christ. Why'd you include that? What is the purpose of including that little story? What perspective does that bring?
Yeah, both to make it a more exciting story to read. It would be a bit dull, perhaps, to just listen to Holmes and Watson sitting in two chairs discussing with each other. But apart from that, it also, the case is that Sherlock is visited by a priest who is also a New Testament scholar, so they can follow each other in these cases. And there is a medieval silver cross in his church hall that has somehow disappeared. And the point I want to make by this parallel case is obviously that when you study a disappearance, you come to the conclusion that nothing disappears without a cause, without an intention. And if you discuss the empty tomb, you can't just say, well, the corpse just disappeared. You need to have a naturalistic explanation. If Christ was not resurrected from the dead, and there is no natural explanation possible.
That's a great point. I mean, I've never thought of it that way, but that's a great point. We're talking with Perry Ewart. He is the author of the book Sherlock, The Case of the Empty Tomb. So, obviously, you're dealing with some very familiar characters, characters that people love. Did you feel any intimidation to say, okay, well, I better get these characters right, or it might undercut my whole story?
Yeah, and that's why it's good that I've followed Sherlock Holmes. I know the story since I was a teenager. So I made it pretty sure that I wouldn't offend, is perhaps not the right word, to readers or to the characters themselves. I'm pretty convinced that I've portrayed them in a manner that they or Conan Doyle would feel accustomed with.
I'm talking with Per Ewart. Once again, the book is Sherlock, The Case of the Empty Tomb. Per, if Christian picks up this book or a non-Christian picks up this book and reads through it, what are you hoping? Maybe you can answer for both of those, for the Christian and for the non-Christian. Yeah. What are you hoping they get out of it?
Yeah, the good thing for the Christian is to read it and see that there is actually very strong foundations for our faith. It's not a blind faith. We rest on solid historical evidence and witnesses. And for the non-Christian, I hope that there are several people out there who are, like Sherlock Holmes, an open seeker who is open to the evidence and doesn't close himself because he some opportunities as remote or distant, but is very open to follow the evidence where it leads him. I won't tell how the book ends, but the main question, both to Sherlock Holmes and to the reader, is how do you handle historical evidence like this if you stand before a situation which makes you have to evaluate your whole worldview? Maybe the universe is an open system with a God outside who can intervene in history.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, once you have the evidence, what are you going to do with it? Will you respond to it or will you reject it? Yeah.
Yes, the main question.
Para, folks want to find out more information about this book or pick up a copy, how can they do so?
Well, I have an English website, perewart.com. I'm also on Facebook and on Twitter, and I have a publicist called Karen Campbell, through which other contacts are done.
Could you give us your English website again, please?
E-U-E-R-T, P-E-R-E-W-E-R-T. And the book is on Whip and Stock Publishing Company.
Excellent. Pat, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
You.
This looks like a really fascinating book, and we really appreciate you joining us this afternoon, I guess, for you.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes.
Thank you.